Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I'm Pastor Dave. He is Pastor Jeff. And we are from Revolution Church in Salida, Kansas.
Thank you for joining us today for the TruthRevolution.tv podcast, video cast, before church radio thingy. Hey, we got some good news and we got some bad news.
Okay.
So this is our final week on KSAL AM. So if you're listening to us on KSAL AM, this is our final week. So you're going to have to get to the podcast. If you are interested in listening to this show, you got to go to truthrevolution.tv.
Right.
The good news is, if you're listening on any other radio station, you can keep on listening on those radio stations. And you can also join us on the podcast.
There you go.
Truthrevolution.tv. So the show's not going away, just off KSAL. I want to thank everybody at KSAL. We had a long run there and still appreciate everybody there. You guys are great. So
that's really not fair for everybody else that listens on those other stations, because the people that were listening on KSAL, now they just got to go to one place. The podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. All right. Well, today we're answering some questions that we didn't get to. We did a response mm-hmm. to churchandstate.org blog, where this guy said that he says when he was a Christian, he would have avoided reading something that cast doubt about the Bible. And whenever I was presented with difficult questions, I would have usually either looked the other way out of fear or simply dismissed the questions with a wave of my hand.
We should have pulled him aside when he was a child and taught him the cracked acronym.
Yeah, he needs cracked acronym. Mm-hmm. Dude, you got any cracked? Because you need some.
Right.
You need some. That was really bad.
It was terrible.
Okay. I'm going to...
Terrible person.
Okay, so we're going to answer the remainder of his questions that we mm-hmm. didn't finish 2 weeks ago. I mean, the last 2 weeks we've had guests. Amazing guests, by the way.
Absolutely.
But before that, we started answering his questions. We want to answer the rest of them. So let's get into this now.
Better late than never. All right. I'd say first question, but it's not really the first question. It's the first question in the show.
Yeah, this is like the sixth.
Today, right. Okay, would you sacrifice your beloved child if God asked you to?
Okay, now that is a legitimate question.
It is.
And I'm going to legitimately answer the question.
Okay.
But first, allow me to say that when you ask, would I sacrifice my child if God asked me to, I'm going to tell you that you are missing the point with that question. Because what he's trying to get after is... God.
Yeah. God would actually ask you to sacrifice your child.
Right. Or that God asked Abraham to sacrifice his child.
Right.
Or that maybe you would do immoral things for God. Okay. Well, you're missing the point. God has never asked anyone to actually kill someone as a sacrifice to himself, except himself.
Right.
Right. God didn't. So God, the only person who sacrificed a human being legitimately, morally, was God himself. He sacrificed his son, Jesus, for us. Because we had no way back to God. The chain between us and God had been broken. And doing good deeds can't fix that. Being a nice person can't fix that. Someone has to pay the price for the wrongs that we have done.
Absolutely.
Just like if you get a speeding ticket, someone has to pay that price.
Exactly. Or you let it go and you get pulled back into jail for failure to appear.
That's right. Now, God is a just God. He's a just God, meaning he has to do what is right. So he has to punish what is wrong. Jesus, his son, stepped in and said, God, I will accept punishment on their behalf. And so God's wrath was poured out. Jesus accepted our punishment. He paid your fine.
In full.
In full.
And then some.
And then you're allowed to go back to God, not because you did anything great, but because God was so merciful that he allowed his son to do that. So now to the point, I would do whatever God asked me to do.
Right. Here's what I would say. You know, God did tell Abraham, sacrifice your son, even though he stopped him. Okay. So in that situation, you do the same thing that Abraham did, right? God will probably stop you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But I don't have to worry about God asking me that.
Right, because he won't.
God's not going to ask me that question. Right? One of the points of God doing this with Abraham was to show Abraham, we don't do that.
Right.
Right? You understand?
Yes, yes.
And then God came in and said, so here's the law. I'm going to give you this law. The law is you don't sacrifice your children. Right. You got to read. Here's a cracked acronym. Knit together. The K stands for knit together.
Absolutely.
You can't just read one little section. You read the whole thing. And you find out part of this whole process of, okay, Abraham's like, hey, I'm going to sacrifice my child. Just like every other country, every other person at the time would sacrifice people or things like that to their gods. And so Abraham's like, well, I guess I'll do the same thing. And then God says, okay, actually, you know what? Stop. Because I want you to know this isn't what we do.
Right.
And so God's already told us we don't do it.
Right.
Now, if God actually wanted me to, there would be an actually good reason for it. And I actually knew it was really God, not just my my brain going nuts. Sure. But he's not going to ask me to do that because God, whenever he's already told us not to do that. Right. So,
and it would be silly for him to ask us that again.
Yeah. So you're missing the point with the question. If the point of the question is, would you do immoral things if God asked you to? Well, God wouldn't ask you to do immoral things.
No.
Actually, he kind of gets to it on the next question.
Okay. Can God tell a lie if he wanted to?
Okay. Philosophers, philosoraptors have argued about this.
Right.
And I'm not going to solve this particular question. However, if there were a morally good reason to do so, I suppose God could lie. Although I can't think of any morally good reason God would do so. I mean, most of the time you're lying to get out of a situation that you don't think you can handle.
Right.
What situation would God be in that he couldn't handle?
There would not be a situation that he could not handle.
I would not expect God would ever tell a lie then, because I don't expect him to ever be in a situation where he would need to tell a lie.
Right.
So could God tell a lie if he wanted to? See, I don't necessarily think that just saying something that isn't accurate is absolutely immoral in itself. The reasons behind you saying that, the effects of you saying that, the deceitfulness in your heart when you say that, those are all the causes of the sin. If there were a morally good reason for a morally good God who loved you to say something to you that wasn't absolutely true at the moment, I suppose God could do that. I don't see that happening. I don't see that coming into reality, but I suppose technically he could. But that's just one of those hypothetical questions, like, what if, oh my gosh, what if we're just bugs living on a toenail of a giant dinosaur, and our universe is just the garden that the dinosaur's in? You know, like, have you ever heard people talk about this?
Not that one particular, no, but yeah, similar ones.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like these crazy hypothetical questions that are so far out of reality that you have a hard time answering the question.
That was a little strange. Hey, Sam, can you call the doctor, please?
I need help.
Continue the show by myself.
All right.
Just kidding.
Go ahead. You can answer the next one.
Oh, thanks. All right. Is it acceptable to disregard commandments or doctrines in the Bible that you don't like? If you disregard commands that you disagree with, how do you justify doing so? Well, the first question answers the second question.
Explain.
It is not acceptable to disregard commands in the Bible and doctrines in the Bible that you don't like. So you would never have doing so.
Why not?
Because everything that's written in the Bible is from God, and therefore it is true whether you like it or not. This is not an a la carte world.
Hey, say that thing you said the other day.
Which day?
The Bible.
Because I said a lot of things. Right. The Bible a la carte is bad for your heart.
That's so good, Dave. He made that up.
I would bow, but half of you wouldn't see me, and I'm sitting anyway.
The Bible a la carte is not good for your heart.
Right.
That's really good. Yeah. So, yeah, I would say no, it's not acceptable to disagree commandments that you don't like. But first, before I even get into that, what are the commandments that you don't like?
Thou shalt not kill comes to mind. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I mean,
lust. Maybe. Maybe we want to be able to lust.
That's a tough one, right? Yeah.
Don't steal.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know.
Thou shalt not covet, I guess.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they're hard, but, you know, when you begin to align yourself with the mind of God anyway, you begin to change those things. The Spirit begins to change those things within you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you begin to not hate those commandments.
Yeah.
So why would you reject them?
Good. So, obviously it's not acceptable to disregard commandments in the Bible that you don't like. I'm kind of wondering what this guy had gone through. Maybe he went to a church where people were like, yeah, there's this thing in the Bible, but we don't like that part, so we don't do that part.
Right, maybe.
That's difficult. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, you got to do what God wants you to do. You can't just disregard something because it's difficult or you don't like it.
Right.
You know, if you're an addict, you need to go get help. Yeah. If you struggle with lust, you need some accountability.
Right.
I mean, I get accountability.
Right.
I get help because I'm a sinner, and at moments I disregard God's commandments.
Right.
It's not acceptable to do that. And
right.
This is,
I think the two things that you got to watch out for when you are just like overtly avoiding God's commands or just rejecting them is one, man, that shows the inner workings of your heart, and you really ought to think about where you're headed at that point. Two, if you really want to get to heaven and you're showing not only in your mind, but to people who are watching you that it's okay to disregard God's laws, then not only are you stumbling yourself, but you're being a stumbling block to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be doubly bad for you.
Right. Now, the art of studying the Bible and interpreting the Bible is huge, because mm-hmm. you can say, some people are saying, well, you guys disregard the Bible because you allow women to be in leadership at Revolution Church. Well, okay, things like the art and science of biblical hermeneutics. Okay, this is how you study the Bible, how you read the Bible. This is huge. Proper interpretation is everything when it comes to the Bible.
Absolutely.
That's why our cracked acronym is so important. C, context. You got to read things in context. You can't just pull a verse out and be like, hey, look, this is what it says.
Right.
No. The R for revealed. You have to be praying. You have to look at what the Holy Spirit is saying to your church, to you as individual, as you read the Bible. Let the Holy Spirit reveal these truths to you. The A, author's intention. When someone writes this in the Bible, what were they intending on communicating? Not just the literal words, but what are they trying to get across to you? That's big. So if I tell Dave, yo, Dave,
here it comes.
I am hot. Right. Well,
I would disagree with you on two cases because the air conditioner's on in here and I don't find you at all attractive.
Well, then you're wrong on two occasions. But look, because, right, the word has different connotations.
Absolutely,
and right. So you have to know not just what the literal word means, but what the implications of that are. Mm-hmm. So what was I intending on communicating? The credibility. You have to listen to what the person's being said. You have to listen to what the Bible's saying and say, okay, even though I think it's crazy right here, how could I read this in a way that they probably were right? The K, knit together. Don't just read one little piece about Abraham sacrificing mm-hmm. his son. Read the whole thing. Read the whole of the Bible and see how it fits together. The E, the early meaning of the manuscripts, you got to go back to the original languages sometimes.
Right.
And the D, dialect. Sometimes they use exaggerations in the Bible.
But Jeff, that just sounds like too much work.
It is a lot of work to properly interpret the Bible.
It's too much work. I don't want to do that. I'll just misinterpret the Bible. Thank you very much.
Well, that's good for you. that's the attitude a lot of people have,
right,
though.
Yeah.
They won't say it like that, but that's how they live, because they'll hear one little verse and they'll be like, okay, that's nice. I think God's like this. But they won't actually study to figure out what that actually means.
Right.
But if God is real, then you really want to know the truth.
Absolutely.
All right, this next question, we're probably not going to be able to answer fully, but Dave, will you go ahead and read it, and we'll hit it on the other side of the break?
The Bible declares in Genesis that all animals were plant eaters, herbivores, before the flood. Why do we find that dinosaur fossils show that an abundance of carnivorous animals, which contradicts the Bible?
Oh, the Bible says that all animals were plant eaters before the flood?
That's what it says. What?
That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that. Show me one verse in your Bible that says before the flood, all animals were herbivores.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be able to find it.
And he eateth not the meat, but just the planteth.
We're gonna come back right after this break. Dave's going to take his meds.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are going to answer this. What do we think? What did the animals eat? Why did they have fossils that show carnivorous animals from so long ago? What did they eat if it wasn't other animals?
Ritz crackers. Look it up. Just kidding.
You didn't know Ritz crackers was founded 148,000 years ago, did you? Okay, we're going to be right back. Hey, in the meantime, where do they need to go?
TruthRevolution.tv.
And we're at Revolution Church. You got to come out to Revolution Church and visit. Mm-hmm. At least come for three or four times. And if you hate it after three or four times, then don't come back. Try to get to church.
We'll give you an excuse to not come back.
But come three or four times. Dave might even buy you some Ritz crackers.
Might.
Nah, I like him. I don't know. Don't trust what Dave gives you to eat. But just come out to Revolution Church. Hey, we'll be right back with more questions after this.
Why should you go to church?
You know, Jesus said we should be the church.
But before then, the word church was used for business meetings. If you were there, you were part of the church because you were doing the work.
Jesus didn't say, hey everyone, show up for an hour and hang out.
Not at all. He said, be my church.
Meaning, if you follow me, you should get together with other people who follow me and work together. So church is us coming together to do God's work together.
www.revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Can we use logic to actually know anything about God himself?
Sure.
But Jeff, some may argue that logic cannot tell us anything about God.
Does anyone see a problem with that statement?
You should have a problem with it. Listen to it again.
Logic cannot tell us anything about God.
It's a logical statement about God.
Right. The first assumption of saying logic cannot is that it's true and the opposite is false.
For example, logic cannot tell us anything about God disagrees with logic can tell us things about God.
Mm-hmm. This is logical work, my friends. If A equals B, then A can't not equal B, and right. So on.
That is known as the law of non-contradiction and is the crutch upon which all logic rests.
Therefore, this statement is a statement of logic itself, demonstrating that logic leads us to truth.
In other words, even when we try to deny logic,
you have to use logic to deny it.
That's logical. TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit HopeHouseKS.org.
That's HopeHouseKS.org.
At Revolution, we love other churches here in town. For instance, we love New Community.
Hi, I'm Mike Willick, pastor at New Community. We're the church that loves like Jesus and lives like Jesus.
And what does that mean?
Well, we strive to love people unconditionally like Jesus did and walk in the shoes and represent Jesus wherever we go.
Where are you located?
We're located at 530 East Cloud Street.
And where can they find more information?
You can go to our website at newcommunitycc.org or on Facebook. Our service times are at 9 and 10:45.
Thanks, Mike.
Revolution.
And welcome back. We're talking about Ritz crackers today.
Dave, have you taken your meds?
Well, let me give you a short anecdote real quick.
Yeah.
And this is going to be real quick. The reason I brought up Ritz crackers.
I'm assuming the answer is no, then. You have not taken your
right.
meds.
Right. A friend of mine was sitting at my desk during service, and he Snapchatted me, right, as a box of crackers. He said, yo, I found these under your desk. Thanks a lot. And I texted him back. I said, I've never seen those. He's like, haha, well, thanks anyway. I said, seriously, dude. I have no idea where they came from. I have no idea how long they've been under my desk. He just snapped me back just like a couple of dots. Like, uh-oh.
I'm more concerned with the fact that there are Ritz crackers under your desk than no idea.
Right. Well, you know, the teenage
group meets
teenage
in there.
Yeah, the teenage group meets in there.
That's true. Okay, so.
You never know what's going to be in there, seriously.
Okay, so anyway, this skeptic says that the Bible says all animals were plant eaters before the flood, but right. Fossils show that's not true. Okay, well, if scientists are right and the earth is old, as we think it is, was there death before sin entered the world? And we think, yeah, there was death before sin entered the world. Of course, to eat something, you'd have to kill an animal. So we have to address right. the death mm-hmm. issue. Okay, I want to show you why we think there is death before Adam and Eve sinned. Genesis 2:17 is often where people get the idea that death came from sin.
Right. Says you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for what you eat from when you eat from it you will certainly die.
Okay. For when you eat of it you will certainly die.
Mm-hmm.
Who will certainly die?
You
is what the Bible says.
Right.
Who's he talking to?
Adam. and Eve.
Yeah, Adam and Eve will certainly die. Okay, Romans 5:12 is the other verse that people use to talk about death before sin. It says this.
Sin entered the world through one man, and in this way death came to all people.
Okay, death came after sin, but to who? The Bible says...
to people.
It came to people. We often think that death was a result of our sin, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that death came to people because of sin. So we think that an animal dying to be eaten isn't something out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
Let's assume for a minute that nothing died prior to the fall. What did Adam and Eve eat? The answer is plants. Reality check, many plants die when you eat them.
They do. I mean, it's probably a good thing for the plant because you wouldn't want it to be alive still sitting in your gut.
Even for young earth believers, they have to agree that there was death before the fall. Some say that animals and humans are different than plants because there's a different Hebrew phrase, but we aren't sure that's I don't think that's a good explanation.
Right.
I mean, plants still are living things that had to die when Adam and Eve ate them. Mm-hmm. But death before the fall is very real. So, that's a big deal. So I think animals could have eaten other animals before the fall. All right. Let's go to the Bible contradiction.
All right.
Bible contradiction.
All right, the story of Joseph and his brothers after he'd been sold into slavery. He tricked them by putting in some valuables as they were going back home, okay?
Yeah.
But, so Joseph's brothers found the hidden money. Was it at home or was it at an inn? Genesis 42, 27 through 28 says, at the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened the sack to get feed for his donkey. And he saw his silver in the mouth of the sack. My silver has been returned, he said to his brothers. Here it is in my sack. Well, Genesis 42:35 says, when they got home, as they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver.
So which one is it? Did they find the silver at the hotel or at their home?
Right.
Well, really, this is just, okay, the C for credibility and the C for context in our cracked acronym. Just read the story. Like, seriously, all you got to do is read this and, of course, in the first verse, one dude found the silver in his bag. And they were like, oh my gosh, your silver's still there. That's crazy. And then they got home.
Then all of them
had it. And everybody saw the silver in all their bags. This is not a difficult... This is probably one of the easiest ones to resolve. Mm-hmm. I don't know why 1001BibleContradictions.com would put this on their site.
Right. It's like we went to the lake a couple weeks ago, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when I got home... Or actually, on my way home, I realized that I had sand in my waistband, right?
Yes.
Okay. But when we all got here, everybody else had found out that they had sand in their waistband, too.
Contradiction!
Contradiction time.
No. See, the problem here is that people don't want to give the Bible credit. Right. They look for any little thing they can to find something wrong in it, or they copy and paste things from other documents.
Right. Do not do that.
So when you're looking, you're saying, well, I think the Bible contradicts itself all over the place. Well, have you actually grabbed the Bible yourself and read it for yourself and studied it for yourself to see what it's actually teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you learn what it's actually teaching, you're going to realize there's not a contradiction here.
Right.
What you have is people who have found little tiny things like this and tried to say that there's 1,000 Bible contradictions when...
Right.
When 990 of them are little things like this, and a few of them are things that, you got to wrestle with a little bit, but they're not contradictions.
I mean, I was going to call that nitpicking, but that's not even nitpicking, dude. That's just totally being blind.
On purpose, I think, probably purpose, sometimes. Right. All right, that's not a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, let's get back to this.
Let's do the final question. Is this the final question?
I think there's one more after this, but we can go ahead and certainly go to the next one.
Let's do this one about Noah's flood.
Okay. If Noah's flood really took place as described, and if the boat came to rest somewhere in the Middle East as described, how did animals like kangaroos and pandas get from there to other continents, which have huge expansive oceans in between? Do tell, Jeff.
Okay, well, here's how the kangaroos got to Australia. The kangaroos...
They've got really big feet.
See, they
water
can swim
skis.
Really well?
Water skis.
Oh. Okay. The kangaroos weren't in the flood. That's how kangaroos got to Australia.
They were shooting down my water ski theory.
Sorry, the flood didn't make it to Australia because the flood was not covering the entire globe. Hugh Ross, who we had on a couple weeks ago, he's a scientist. He talks about this. We've had him on. There's two familiar Old Testament passages that narrate the worldwide events in the flood. And the same Hebrew word, eres, translated as the earth in the flood account, is translated as the world in these passages. So their meaning is essentially interchangeable.
Right.
Okay. In Genesis 41, we read, all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was so severe in all the world.
Well, how did the people in Australia get to Egypt?
Oh.
With their kangaroos.
It's funny because he goes on, he says, in Genesis 42... it clarifies that the famine had spread through the whole of the Egyptian empire and land of Canaan.
Oh.
The whole world in this context refers to a major region of human civilization rather than the entire globe. So earlier when we were saying the cracked acronym matters, like the D for dialect, yeah. Like are they using exaggeration? Are they using one word as a descriptive word? Well, when it says the water covered the whole world, it's using that to describe a major region, probably all of humanity, but not kangaroos in Australia.
So now Hugh Ross is shooting down my kangaroo. Water ski theory.
No, Dave.
I quit.
Look, kangaroos can water ski.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this doesn't stop kangaroos from water skiing. Right. What you need to do is buy some kangaroos in a boat and go work on that.
Okay.
Because I would pay to see that show, Dave.
I'm about to learn to row real fast because I don't have an engine.
We have a lot more on this. If you go to truthrevolution.tv and type in flood, you can learn a lot more about it. All right. Let's go to the next question.
All right, he says... If a friend believed that the earth was flat, by claiming that all pictures and videos which showed a sphere-shaped planet are man-made lies, would you be able to convince them that the earth is a globe? I don't know.
I don't know how, if I would or not. I would probably use scientific and mathematical evidences. See, I think this is kind of a follow-up question from the... flood question.
Oh,
he's thinking, okay. So you guys made up this crazy thing to explain how kangaroos got to Australia, but you know what? If you're talking to a flat earther, what kind of crazy things would they come up with to deny your evidence? I think that's what he's getting at.
Okay.
But since we don't think the flood covered the whole world, this question doesn't even hardly apply, so it doesn't mess with us.
Right.
The answer is we would use other scientific and mathematical evidences other than a map to try to demonstrate
a flat map. Of course, all maps are flat, so... ergo, the earth must be, right?
Right.
All right. The next question, similarly.
Final question.
Yeah. Is there any amount of evidence that would change your view about the validity of the Bible?
Yes, there is.
What would
that
be?
Is there for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Look, we're logical people. We're rational people here. We believe in the existence of God. But if you could get rid of and explain away the scientific and mathematical evidences for the Bible, then I would probably stop believing that the Bible is the Word of God. Like if there was no prophecies in it, if there was no good manuscript evidence for it,
right?
If the archaeological evidence pooped out, I mean, at that point, there's no reason to believe in it. I believe in it because the manuscript evidence leads me to believe that it's accurate. What we have now is the same as what was written thousands of years ago. The archaeological evidence has all lined up, so the external critiques of the Bible fail because the Bible shows to be reliable within history.
Right.
You also have the prophecies that were foretold hundreds and thousands of years in advance. The prophecies have come true.
Absolutely.
And then you have statistics. The statistical probability that these prophecies could have been foretold and then actually come into play are astronomical. I mean, it's like if you think it's hard to win the lottery,
yeah.
Try winning the lottery twice and like maybe try winning the lottery 10 times.
Yeah, look, if it was just one or two things that we were just resting our faith on, you know, I could be like, okay, yeah, I could see myself changing my mind tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we don't. There's a mountain of evidence.
There's a lot of evidence. So let me flip the question around. How would you who don't believe yet, deny or explain that the earth isn't flat? How would you, what evidence would it take you to convince you that there is a God? Seriously, what would it take to convince you there is a God? And if your question, if your answer is nothing could convince me that there's a God,
the conversation's over.
Then you're a denier of truth, whether or not God exists, right? Because you don't want the evidence, you just don't want there to be a God.
Right. And I would challenge you to actually go through and listen to, say, 20 or 30 of the Truth Revolution shows and be objective about it and then come back and talk to us.
Yeah, like actually look at some evidence. The Kalam cosmological argument, the teleological argument, the ontological argument, the moral argument, the resurrection, F-V-A-T, feet, the statistics, the prophecies. What do you do with all this?
Yeah.
What do you do with all this? So All right, thanks for listening to truthrevolution.tv. Coming out to Revolution Church. We'd love to have you. God cares more about what's inside than what's outside. Amen. We don't care what you look like or dress like. We just want you here. Come on out to Revolution Church.